The Navy's top cyber officer says a push for low-priced acquisitions and delays in Navy modernization programs, those are two of the significant sources of concern when it comes to the security of the service's cyber systems. As Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu reports, the service says it's now rethinking the balance between cost and cybersecurity.
Vice Admiral Jan Tighe, the new commander of the Navy's Fleet Cyber Command, frames the refocus as in line with official DoD doctrine, which stipulates that cyberspace is indeed a warfighting domain, on par with and interdependent with the traditional ones, land, sea, air, and space. But the way the military's been purchasing capabilities for cyber hasn't necessarily reflected that fact.
I think there has, for a great many years, been a lot of pressure put on obtaining capabilities, particularly in communications and networks, for the lowest price, right? So that pressure to be efficient, from a fiscal perspective, is juxtaposed in some cases with being secure, knowing where you're getting that router or that switch from at any given time, knowing that it's assured and that you know what's sort of running on it. But there will continue to be, because of the pressures on the budget, a push on our acquisition system to get it at the lowest price. And the lowest price isn't always the most secure.
Tighe, speaking Tuesday at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, said the push for rock-bottom pricing for technology is an outgrowth of the notion that IT is now a commodity, regardless of its application, and the government would be best served by relying on industry to innovate and then demand the lowest price from the commercial marketplace.
That's one line of thinking that we've sort of been operating under, in the past. And the other part of it is you would never buy a weapon system in this manner. No, nobody goes out and says, let's go buy the cheapest, fill in the blank. We study what we should be buying, what is within the realm of the possible with physics and technology. And we understand, how capable that's going to be before we go out and buy it. And so we have to bring cyberspace more into the realm of thinking about it like we're acquiring a weapon system. It has to be defendable.
As a corollary, Tighe says budget constraints in other areas of the Navy's procurement budget are also creating significant concerns about the defensibility of the Navy's cyber systems. She says since ship procurement dollars are on the decline, existing fleet modernization programs are being stretched out over longer and longer time periods, which usually means upgrades to IT systems aboard those ships also take a back seat.
When we delay modernization of systems, we are delaying the upgrade of operating systems, which means it's very difficult to defend in old operating systems against new zero-day activities. When the new zero days come out on any given day, and it seems to be every given day these days, suddenly your attack surface has grown wherever you happen to have that vulnerability throughout the Navy network. And so taking actions to crunch down that attack surface to be as small as possible. It's not going to go to zero. Even if you had it perfectly, everything patched, every operator understanding the nature of his or her behavior online, every day a new vulnerability potentially is going to be found. And so we recognize that there's going to be an attack surface. Let's try to make it as small as possible. And we have a lot of opportunities and people working on that across our systems command, across the OPNAV staff, across our type commander. Make that attack surface as small as possible, and then we have the layered defense in depth.
The decisions the Navy makes to slow or spread its shipbuilding plans are usually based on studies of the demands that will be placed on those ships and the impacts those programmatic decisions will have on the fleet's overall availability. But Tighe says up until now, they have not taken into consideration the impact of those decisions on the Navy's cybersecurity posture.
I think we've identified that's an issue, and figuring out how we're going to change sort of the requirements process, the planning, programming, budgeting, and execution, and what does sustainment look like for all types of systems, particularly shipboard systems. What does their sustainment plan look like because of restricted availability, because of some of these systems may not be modernized for a very long time. Those factors haven't largely been well understood in the past. Of, you know, sometimes decisions are made that we don't understand what the long-term effects are. And sustainment of, you know, of software-heavy systems, and most of them are these days, sustainment has to account for the fact that, you know, vulnerabilities will happen, baseline changes have to be made, and the longer it takes us to do that, the more risk that or opportunity for the bad guys that we present out there.
That rethinking of the role of cyber in the decision-making process for ship programs is part of the Navy's Task Force Cyber Awakening, a program it announced earlier this year to expand its overall thinking about cyber so that it's not just the provenance of the Navy's IT community. One objective is to make sure that all of the systems the service buys and operates are certified as cyber safe, as Matthew Schwartz, the task force's leader, told reporters last month.
We also want to make sure that we look at that across the entire kill chain. And when I say kill chain, what I talk about is the initial thought of a concept of a capability through the design of a capability, through the acquisition of a capability, through the implementation of that capability of the fleet, to the point where we actually dermo that capability, whether it's an IT capability or whatever. But what we're saying in cyber, we need the ability to monitor capabilities end-to-end from when we're generating IT ideas in the S&T world to when we actually take those requirements and then actually acquire them to the point where we're operating them and we're sustaining them and then we're eventually getting rid of them. We need the ability to track those through the entire life cycle. And one of the reasons why this task force is endorsed both by the CNO and Secretary Stackley is a realization that the acquisition part of this is just as critical as the operational component of it. That we need to make sure that as we're designing and acquiring things, that we're doing that to a standard. And the standard is going to drive requirements from a cybersecurity perspective. The vision is that the acquisition process needs to be informed on cyber-safe standards and that we procure things to those standards.
The Navy envisions that one day in the near future, there will be one single official in charge of certifying that all of its proposed systems are cyber-safe before it greenlights the procurement of any new system. But it hasn't yet settled on exactly who that cyber czar would be or how the decision-making structure would operate. Answering those questions is one of the central functions of the new task force. In any case, Ty says the Navy needs to start treating its cyber systems as what military doctrine claims they already are, weapon systems.
You know, whether we like it or not, cyberspace is an established operational warfighting domain. And just like the maritime and air and space domains, this domain has to be defended. And through this domain, we will deliver those warfighting effects against adversaries that wish to do our nation or our allies harm.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.